try to forgive you when you won't forgive somebody else is to destroy the bridge over which you yourself must cross.
Dr. Tony Evans says we need to check our attitude before we pray for God's pardon.
What you are in essence saying is, Lord, I messed up. Give me grace. They messed up. They get nothing. Which means you want grace to flow to you. You just don't want it to flow through.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. God's forgiveness is a gift, one we really can't live without. But today, Dr. Evans talks about the important link between being forgiven and being forgiving. Let's join him as he explains.
We've looked at the Lord's person, our Father who art in heaven, the Lord's program, thy kingdom come, his priority, thy will be done, his provision, give us this day our daily bread. Today we want to just look briefly at his pardon. Because verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here we're introduced to the most difficult subject of forgiveness. And there is probably not a person here who has not struggled with forgiveness. Forgiving yourself. Am I forgiven by God? Forgiving another. This thing of forgiveness haunts us. And the issue of forgiveness is real because the problem of sin is real. It is real from us. It is real upon us. Yet the Lord told his disciples and tells us, when you pray, and when you're going to God about your daily bread, what he has just talked about, he says, make sure that you're not only interested in your physical status, bread, but your spiritual status, forgiveness. What then is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the decision to no longer credit the offense against the offender's tab. Forgiveness is the decision to no longer credit the offense that the person has done to God or that they have done to you, to no longer place that offense on their account, to no longer charge them for it. This raises a very theological question, because we're told when we pray to pray this way, forgive us. He's talking to his disciples who can say, our Father. One might raise the question, but I thought I was already forgiven. I thought when I accepted Jesus Christ that took away all of my sins. Why must I pursue forgiveness if I'm already a Christian and thus I've already been forgiven by God? Because there are two types of forgiveness, not one. One type of forgiveness in the Bible is legal forgiveness or judicial forgiveness. Legal forgiveness or judicial forgiveness has to do with being forgiven for the penalty of a crime or of a sin. When you trusted Jesus Christ, you were legally forgiven. In the courtroom of heaven, the slate was wiped clean when you were born again. It was not only wiped clean of your past sins, it was wiped clean of your present sins, it was wiped clean of your future sin, so that sin can never come up with regard to your relational standing with God. But what you must understand is that that's not the only kind of forgiveness. You see, the second kind of forgiveness is relational forgiveness. Let's put it another way. Parental forgiveness. Our Father who art in heaven. You see, the Lord's Prayer is not dealing with God as a judge. It's dealing with God as a Father. It's our Father. While the legal issue is settled once and for all when you come to Christ, the relational issue has to be settled regularly. Is that not true with our children? They are legally ours, even on their worst day. But that doesn't mean we like them all the time. Because relationally, they're breakdowns. Relationally, things are not as they ought to be. Relationally, harmony must constantly be maintained. He is speaking in the Lord's Prayer parentally, "Our Father, forgive us." So in this request, it is the request of the believer for God to remove whatever they have done that has erected a barrier between them and their Heavenly Father. So the first forgiveness is about salvation. The second one is about fellowship or intimacy. It's what the book of 1 John is all about, how to be intimate with the Lord. It's not talking about how to be saved. It's talking about how to be relationally close. Two separate types of forgiveness. That raises another question about forgiveness, and that is the relationship of forgiving to forgetting. One of the big tough issues today is, if I forgive, does that mean I have to forget? In fact, theologically, we must ask the question, does God forget? Isaiah 43:25 says, "I will remember your sin no more. I will cast your sin as far as the east is from the west." Constantly and regularly, the Bible talks about God forgetting our sin. But before we move too fast, when the Bible says God forgets our sin, the Bible cannot mean that God in his computer bank, so to speak, has and could never have any recollection of the event. He forgets it not in terms of intellectual capacity. He's God. He means he forgets it relationally. In other words, he does not allow that thing that caused the breach between you and him to get in the way of you and him. What about forgetfulness on the human level? Picture, if you will, a bell in a bell tower. The bell is up high and it has a rope attached to it. You've all seen it on TV. And you pull the rope up and down, up and down, up and down. Bung, 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 bung. There's this constant pulling and there is constant ringing of the bell. Then let's say after you've done that for a while, you let the rope go. When you let the rope go, the bell keeps swinging. The bell does not stop swinging just because you let it go. It will swing for a while. Bung, 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 bung. It will slow down. Forgiveness is when you let the bell rope go. That's forgiveness. You no longer hold the rope. Lack of forgiveness is when you constantly pull in the rope. Bung, you did this to me. Bung, you did that to me. Bung, you did this to me. Bung, you did that to me. Bung, you did this to me. Bung, you did that to me. You are constantly pulling the rope. You make yourself think about it when you're not thinking about it. Because you insist on pulling the rope. When you let the rope go, that is by a decision of the will, I will no longer hold this crime against you. For a while, your emotions will hear the bell. But if you let the rope go and leave it alone, the bell will bong, bong. It'll slow down until it stops. Don't let the fact that your feelings of the pain get in the way of your forgiveness. Because you can have the pain and still have provided the forgiveness. The issue you're responsible for is not constantly ringing the bell. If you don't pick up the rope, the sound will die down. The reason why the sound doesn't die down is twofold. One, we've been ringing the bell for so long, we don't know how life is without the bell. And two, we leave the bell alone for a while, then we pick up the rope again, and we start all over again. The criteria for forgiveness. The verse says in verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or let me put it another way. We must be willing to grant others what we ourselves expect from God. To put it another way, to ask God to forgive you when you won't forgive somebody else is to destroy the bridge over which you yourself must cross. Evidently, this phrase was the most important phrase in the prayer because it's the only phrase in the prayer that Jesus makes a commentary on. Look at verses 14 and 15. At the very end of the prayer, amen, he says, for if you forgive men of their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. He doesn't do that with any of the other phrases. He doesn't come at the end of the prayer and say, oh, let me go back. But on this one, he does. Evidently, this is such a crucial issue. Why? It's a crucial issue because of what it costs God to provide forgiveness to us. It was a very expensive provision, so he does not want us to take the responsibility of forgiveness lightly. To refuse to forgive somebody for what they've done to you is to block the flow of grace. What you are in essence saying is, Lord, I messed up, give me grace. They messed up, they get nothing. Which means you want grace to flow to you, you just don't want it to flow through you. You want to get it from God, you don't just don't want to give it to others. God says that's too serious of an issue. It's too serious of an issue for you to come to me 20 times a day after you've done the same thing.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with more to say about the two different kinds of forgiveness and the different roles they play in helping us grow closer to God. So stay with us. We've been really excited by the response to Tony's brand new book called Praying Through the Names of God. It'll not only teach you about the deep meaning and significance behind the many names used to describe God in the Bible, you'll discover how they address all the situations we face in life. There are 300 specific prayers on 80 different names of God to get you started, along with room to write down your own thoughts and requests. So visit TonyEvans.org today for information on getting a copy of Praying Through the Names of God. And while you're there, be sure to take advantage of a special offer that'll help you dig deeper into the subject we'll be studying through the end of this month. It's a new 7-lesson compilation called The Power of Prayer. It'll teach you how to make your prayers more passionate and productive, how to connect your prayers with God's kingdom agenda, and explore the important role prayer plays in your spiritual growth. And right now, we're offering this collection as our thank you gift when you help us get through these challenging summer months with a contribution of any amount. This offer is only available for a limited time, so get the details on the power of prayer and make your donation online at TonyEvans.org, or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. I'll give our contact information again after Dr. Evans brings us the rest of today's message. Let's join him.
Transactional forgiveness is based on repentance. You see, unilateral forgiveness may mean no relationship with the person, because the person's not seeking a relationship. You're just forgiving them so you can keep going. Okay? Transactional forgiveness is different, because a person repents in order to reestablish a relationship. That's the difference. Whenever there's a breach in a relationship and a person says, I'm sorry for what I've done, I will always ask the question, now what are you going to do to demonstrate that you want to heal the wound? And if we come up with that which is to be done, and they follow through on it, the Bible calls that fruit of repentance. The Bible says if we will confess our sins, the word confess means to agree with, if we will say what God says about what we did, not that it was a mistake, not that it was a bad habit, it was sinful action against God and you, it was wrong, I want to heal it. There is a sense of brokenness over what was done. Ashamed that I have done it. That's confession. When it's mixed with fruit a desire to make up for what was done wrong. It's repentance. Confession with fruit equals repentance. Steps to move in the opposite direction to the wrong done. That's what God is asking. One final point. The consequences of forgiveness. The negative consequences. There's a great story in Matthew 19 about this that it really illustrates this story. But it's the story of forgiveness because Peter wants to know, like we all want to know, verse 21, how often do I have to forgive my brother? He said, up to seven? Now, he thought he was being good because the rabbi said three. He said seven. So at least I'm better than him. Jesus says, how about 70 times seven? That's 490. In other words, Jesus was basically saying, why are you counting? He says, Peter, disciples, let me explain this forgiveness thing to you. And he tells a story. He tells a story of a man who owed a king a lot of money. And since he did not have the means, verse 25, to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had and repayment to be made. You owe me, pay it. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Give me some time. The Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him, and look at this, canceled his debt. The man is free to go. He has been totally released. But look at verse 28. The slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii and said, pay me what you owe me. So the fellow slave fell down and began to entreat, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. Now, haven't we heard that before? But he was unwilling. Verse 30 says, he threw him in prison. They had debtor's prison back then, until he would pay back what he owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that has happened. Uh-oh. They went back and told the king what he had done. So then he was summoned to the Lord, who says in verse 32, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you entreated me, simply because you requested, asked, begged. Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? Forgive me as I forgive those who are in debt with me. See, this is an illustration of the principle. But look at the result. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should pay him all that he was owed. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you, each one of you, who does not forgive his brother from your heart. Ooh, that's deep. God says, this is not some offbeat illustration. You're looking at me. And if you won't do for others what I have done for you, then I will do to you what the king did to him. So then what did he owe the king? He only owed the king one thing. He owed the king forgiveness of the debt of the person who owed him. That's what he owed the king. Isn't that what the verse is saying? Forgive us as we forgive them. You owe God their forgiveness. And if we do not give God their forgiveness, we now owe God the forgiveness we wouldn't give them. What he owes is what we all owe. And that is to set folk free when we're asking God to set us free. To not retaliate when we're asking God not to bounce down on us. The positive consequences are awesome. You will experience forgiveness and healing of the mind. There's so much stress, discouragement, and depression because you don't forgive. You got a headache and Excedrin doesn't work because you won't forgive. It removes stress. It lets God give you mercy. James 2:13 says, if you extend mercy, I'll give you mercy. If you don't want what you deserve, then don't give him what he deserves, and I won't give you what you deserve. He says, I'll flow this thing straight down. You say, but what he did to me was not fair. You know what the Bible says? Leave the justice to God. Let the wrath of God take care of the justice. Because if you take care of it, you leave no room for the justice of God. The reason why we want to get back is because we don't believe God will. or that he will fast enough, or he might just even do something worse, show him mercy. But we definitely don't want that. You know what forgiveness does? It allows people to move past failure. It means every time I see you, I don't have to be reminded about my failure because you've pushed me forward. Forgiveness allows people to move on. So it's discipline or it's mercy. Now, what do you need? Is there anybody you need to forgive? Either unilaterally or transactionally.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final story about a little boy, a dead duck, and the freedom we find in forgiveness. First, though, I want to remind you to stop by TonyEvans.org and pick up a copy of our featured CD series for this month, The Power of Prayer. It's a great way to dig deeper into what we've been learning, and it would make a great gift to share with your church. As I mentioned, we'd like you to have it as our thank you gift when you support the work of The Alternative with a contribution of any size. So get in touch with us before this special offer runs out and make your request. You can get all the information and make your donation online at TonyEvans.org, where you can learn about all of our resources, including the new book I told you about earlier, Praying Through the Names of God. You can also call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our phone center is open 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. We often pray to God to help us get out of difficult situations or circumstances. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about the kind of prayer that can help us avoid them altogether. Right now, though, he's back with a great illustration to wrap up today's lesson.
Let me close. A little boy was visiting his grandparents one day, and his grandparents had a slingshot. Oh, boy, he'd always wanted a slingshot. He took a slingshot into the woods. And he didn't know what he was doing, but he started playing with the slingshot. He walked back to his grandparents' farm, and he saw a duck. He thought, well, why don't I throw a rock at the duck? He pulled back. Wouldn't you know, he'd been missing all day. Now he hits a bullseye. He hits the duck upside the head. The duck falls over dead. Okay? All of a sudden, he gets good. This was Grandpa and Grandma's favorite duck. He buries the duck. But when he looks up, he sees his big sister Sally looking at him out of the window. Sally saw him kill and bury the duck. So he didn't get away with his crime. But Sally said, I ain't gonna tell. Grandmother said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. Sally said, oh, no, my brother Johnny said he wants to wash the dishes. She looked at Johnny and said, remember the duck. Grandpa said, well, me and Johnny are going fishing. Grandma said, okay, me and Sally will stay here and cook. Oh, Sally said, just a minute. Johnny just said he wants to stay here and cook with Grandma, and I'll go fishing with Grandpa. Remember the duck. This went on for 2 days. Johnny got sick and tired of this. He got sick and tired. He said, Grandma, Grandma, I killed a duck. I killed a duck. I did it. Grandma looked at him and said, I know you did it. Because I was watching out the other window when you did it. You know what I did, boy? I forgave you when you killed the duck. But I didn't say anything because I wanted to see how long you were going to let Sally make you her slave. Folks, God knows you didn't kill the duck. You know you killed the duck. Don't hide it. You killed the duck. You know what Satan wants to do? Tell you, remember the duck. If you don't do that, remember the duck. He wants to hold you hostage. God says, you just come to him and tell him you killed the duck. Then Satan no longer has any hold on you because you've confessed to God you killed a duck.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.